Welcome to Cathedral Square, hosted by Father Christopher Smith, Episcopal Vicar and Rector of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. For the next hour, you'll have an opportunity to find out about some of the history, little-known facts, and the upcoming events at the beautiful campus on the corner of Chapman and Lewis, or as we like to say, at the intersection of faith and reason.
Welcome to Cathedral Square. I'm your host, Father Christopher Smith, Episcopal Vicar and Rector of Christ Cathedral in the Diocese of Orange. On Cathedral Square, we talk about all things Christ Cathedral. We talk about the development of the campus. We talked about the dedication. We've talked about the move to the campus from St. Callistus, now Christ Cathedral. We've talked about the programs of the campus and a lot of the different people who are in ministry here at Christ Cathedral. Today I'm really happy because I have some guests who are very dear to me and have been very dear to Christ Cathedral and before that St. Callistus Parish. And they are Dr. and Mrs. Steve and Alma Madrid. They were parishioners of St. Callistus Parish for many years and involved in the transition here to the campus, and also have been involved in many of the ministries of the parish. So I really wanted to ask them to share with us some of their experience. So Dr. Steve and Alma, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for inviting us, Father.
Thank you for inviting us.
You're very welcome. In fact, I met Dr. Steve and introduced to Dr. Steve as Dr. Steve when I first met him. And would you say a bit about that, Steve?
Absolutely. I was a psychotherapist and clinical director at St. Joseph Hospital, and I worked for the nuns 25 years, which were very, very special to me. And the last 15 years of my working career, I was in private practice. My specialty was mental health and chemical dependency. And it was also very special where I got to meet Father Christopher initially was through the work that I did for the diocese and working with priests and seminarians and religious. And that was quite an experience. I really enjoyed doing the psychological evaluations for the seminarians and religious and the diaconate program. So it's been a beautiful journey for me.
Thank you, Dr. Stephen. And I know you've really done some fine and very helpful work over these years, and I and the diocese is very grateful for that. I remember when I used to help at St. Callistus, I was always greeted by Dr. Steve and Alma, and they used to tell me, maybe I should think about being a priest in a kind of a joking way.
Do it professionally.
Do it professionally, right. Yes.
Make it a career.
Make it a career. And always very affirming and supportive. What I'd like to ask you to talk to us about is a little bit of your history. The former St. Callistus Church, how you ended up there and your involvement in the parish.
Well, we were not parishioners at St. Callistus. We belonged to another parish. And I had not been going to Mass. And the kids were at school there, and one of the sisters said, no, Mrs. Madrid, you need to talk to Father Scannell. So we went and talked to Father Scannell, and our kids were enrolled there. And the first Mass that we went to felt like home.
Oh.
It was very, very welcoming. Father Matt Ryder said the Mass.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. And we've never left.
Marriage Encounter was very, very active. And as a young family at that time, they really embraced us and welcomed us. The same as, of course, Monsignor Scannell and Father Ryder and the other staff that was there. Just to add to what Alma said, One of the main thing I think that got us over there is we tried to get our children out of into St. Barbara Parish, into the school, and they didn't have room at that time. They had a waiting list. So Alma, you heard about this little church in Garden Grove that had a school, and it had room for students. So it's the greatest thing that happened to us because it just became family.
Isn't that something?
Oh, yes.
We were the little church down the street from the big church.
Oh, wow. Isn't that something?
Now we're the big church Yeah, oh, we don't have a little church down the street anymore.
We don't have a little church down the street, and now we're a really big church.
I'm always taken by the stories of people who found themselves in a parish because of the parish school. That's happened to many families who lived in a territorial parish that was different, couldn't get their child into the school, went to another one. I always think it's God's providence, though, when things like that happen.
Well, St. Callistus is a very unique and special community. The first time I went to Mass there, you know, I felt welcome. I felt the warmth. And I think it has followed us here.
Yes.
You know, I think it has followed us. But it was a very unique parish.
Yeah. Elma's from Texas. I'm from New Mexico. And we have a big family on both sides. And everybody that comes down to visit would say that. There's a special feeling about St. Callistus, a family atmosphere, a spiritual atmosphere. And, you know, that was true, as evidenced by when we did close the St. Callistus and moved over here. It was really an emotional.
Oh, very much so, yes.
We didn't want to come.
No, I know.
We didn't want to come.
No, I know.
We hadn't been in our church long enough.
Yeah.
And we didn't know if we wanted to make the move or not.
Mm-hmm.
But Father Twin was very active in our life, and he depended a lot on Steve.
Yes.
And we said, well, okay, we'll give it a shot.
Uh-huh.
And if it doesn't work out for us, because going to our new church was a change for us, because we had the little church. And then we went to our new church. So that was kind of a change for us.
Took us 40 years to come up with the money for the new church.
Yes.
And then moving over here, it was just, we didn't want to come. We did not want to come. But we felt it was really a calling.
Yes.
Because it's never been done before.
That's right.
Very unique. And we felt, well, all right, we'll go down. And once the church is dedicated and everything, you know, if we're not happy. Well, that did take a little bit longer than we expected. So,
yes, it took like 4 years longer than we expected.
So after that, we were already, you know.
Yes. And interesting you mentioned that, because we moved here to the campus in 2013, and we thought that the cathedral would be ready in 2 years.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. So we thought, we'll give it 2 years.
That's right. Well, it took a little longer, more like seven.
And by that time, it was too late.
Yeah, exactly.
But there was a lot of patience, and we appreciated that for the hanger-oners.
Yes.
The holy rollers, St. Callistus group was referred to. And Father Twin and yourself and some of the other people that were from the diocese, and Father Twin, I think eventually he got tired of hearing the same thing. We don't want to go. We don't want to go.
Yes.
And he said, okay, we're not going back. We're moving forward. So no rear view mirrors.
There you go.
Let's go.
And yes.
And of course, he was very strong in our families, in our St. Callistus families, that it took that for us to say, okay, no rear view mirrors. Let's go.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, that was tremendously difficult for him as the pastor, and he exercised tremendous leadership in all that. It's really the example of really you go where you're called. That's, and you put it very well, Alma.
Exactly.
Very well. You know. And just for our listeners to get a little perspective here, when Alma refers to the big church, she's referring to the church that the parishioners built that was only open for about 12 years, I think, before the parish was asked to move to the Christ Cathedral campus. And the church before that was a little church.
Yes.
It was never designed to really be a permanent church.
It was a parish center.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so this big, beautiful church was built, and the parishioners were very proud of it. And not only was it difficult to be asked to move from the campus, to move from that particular building to this place was a tremendous sacrifice for everybody. I remember that, I've told this story before, one time I got a call from Father Twin. I was the vicar for priests at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That means I didn't have a parish. I helped out at different parishes. And he said, Christopher, would you
ever be able to come and help us with an English Mass at St. Callistus, because he said he wanted to see if I was available and I could help them out. And he was so funny. He says, I think the parishioners would like a priest sometimes that English was their first language. I remember he said that, because we have a multicultural parish.
Yes.
And all.
Yes.
And I said, sure, I'll come over. And oh my gosh, the first time I was there, I loved it. That feeling was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then about a few months after that, he said, you know, you speak Spanish, don't you? I said, yes. Well, could you help out with a Spanish Mass from time to time?
Wrong answer.
That's Father Twin.
That. Oh yeah. I said, yeah, I could help out from time to time. Well, from time to time became every Sunday, usually a Mass in English and in Spanish.
Wrong answer.
Yeah. But I've often thought how providential that was, because I had no idea there was going to be a Christ Cathedral, that I would be the rector of it and kind of being overseeing the transition. So it was really helpful for me to already have a sense of the people and already have some relationship mm-hmm. with the people mm-hmm. in that move. It kind of softened.
That was extremely helpful to us.
Yeah.
Very helpful.
And it was helpful for me, too.
We had bonded with you and
yes.
gotten to know you. Huh?
Yes. And so I've always been so taken by the way the people, not everybody, the majority of the people, though, just eventually said, all right, we're gonna do this. And once people said that, you did it and got on board with the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were at St. Callistus Parish, what are some of the things that you started to get involved with when you first started being parishioners there?
I got involved first with the school.
Okay.
I was very active in the school. Matter of fact, when my daughter graduated from eighth grade there, I would not raise my hand for about 10 years.
Isn't that something? Yeah.
Because, I was very involved. And then, of course, that brought us to the church. And we started attending Mass and everything. And then that's when they were trying to get female Eucharistic ministers.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
And Sister Carolyn Marie
mm-hmm.
asked me to be a minister. And I didn't think I was quite ready for that, but she was very convincing. So
yes.
So that's what started it. And then we were in Marriage Encounter. And we just jumped in.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we didn't have a lot of money at the school, as Catholic schools often don't have, and we needed PE equipment for the kids to be able to play sports. So we started what was called Super Dads, and what that was about was we would sell donuts and coffee on Sundays.
Wow.
And then somebody mentioned about newspapers, so we started to collect newspapers. And we were really able to build up the physical ed department to a point where at the end of the year, we would push the coaches to buy more equipment, because if not, it would go into the general fund and it would be gone.
you better spend it right away.
They better use it or lose it.
Yeah.
Spend it.
Well, you know, Steve and Alma, I've always been in admiration of the cooperation and leadership that lay people have taken so many times with so many endeavors, and the school is one of them, because most Catholic schools have challenges, you know, financially. But those starting those fundraisers and all those kinds of things are really what kept things going.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to take a break in a minute. Before we go, though, I'd like to introduce you to Dr. Steve and his wife, Oma, and we're going to talk a little bit more after the break about the transition to the Christ Cathedral campus, and then what it's been like since the pandemic has hit all of us. We'll take a break now. Please stay with us.
Here's a reflection from Auxiliary Bishop Timothy Fryer of the Diocese of Orange in Southern California.
A number of you have been reaching out asking about what's happening with masses now that the governor has issued a new order. As you know, here in the Diocese of Orange, we pay attention to what the government officials say, and we also consult our own medical experts to see what is in the best interest of the common good. Almost all of our parishes are moving to the celebration of Mass outdoors. They'll continue to live stream for those who are elderly or those who don't feel comfortable coming to Mass, but know that we're not eliminating Masses. Maybe there might be one or two parishes that don't have space, but the majority of our parishes are continuing to offer, especially on Sunday, the celebration of Mass outdoors. Thank God we live in Southern California, not in Nevada or some other place where it'd be 120 degrees. It might get a little bit warm, but I invite you, if possible, to go and to pray, to receive Holy Communion, to thank God for the blessings that we've been given. Confessions as well continue. They're outdoors or by appointment in a place that will be safe. We continue our ministry. We just continue to adapt so that hopefully by these measures, we're able to decrease the spread of the virus and to get ourselves back to normal quickly. Let us continue to pray for all those who are sick, those who care for them, their family members and friends, that they receive healing, health, protection, and strength. God bless you.
For more, go to OCCatholic.com. That's OCCatholic.com. Or visit the Diocese of Orange Facebook page.
Welcome back to Cathedral Square. I'm your host, Father Christopher Smith, Rector of Christ Cathedral in the Diocese of Orange. And we're continuing our conversation today with my very special guest, Dr. Steve Madrid and his wife, Alma, longtime parishioners of St. Callistus, which is now Christ Cathedral Parish. Now, I'm going to ask you about something that I know is difficult. It was difficult for all of us and probably unique in all the world. You used the words very well, Alma, that this really doesn't happen what happened with us, that a whole parish is asked to move. It's geographically from its one campus to another. And then to become a whole new entity in the sense of becoming a cathedral parish. So now, you know, we're not the little church down the street, and we're not as autonomous as most parishes are because we have to serve the whole diocese. And here at Christ Cathedral, we also have to share a whole campus, multi-uses. And I'm just going to go back again to June 29th, 2013, because that was the day that we closed St. Callistus Church, and then we came over here for the very first Mass that was at the Christ Cathedral campus. And I know both of you were part of all of that. Would you say something about that experience from the closing then to the Mass?
Oh, it was very heartbreaking.
Yes.
Our kids had gone to school there up to the eighth grade, graduated. Our grandkids had gone to school there. We loved the people. We were just enmeshed with St. Callistus. And the last day, the last Mass, was heartbreaking. You know, everybody was crying. It was very, very sad. When they closed the doors, that was very heavy.
Yes.
When they did the gate.
Oh, the gate. They just shut those gates.
Oh my gosh.
It was so hard. Yeah.
And we thought, well, okay, this is what our Lord wants us to do. We will follow through and give it a shot and see how it goes. But it, like I said before, it took longer, so by that time we're in. But it was really difficult. It was really difficult.
You were at the first Mass.
We were at the first Mass, and that was beautiful. It was beautiful. There was a lot of people.
There was like 3,000 people at that Mass.
There was a lot
Amazing.
Of people.
You had asked earlier about the ministries that we were involved with. One of the conflicts for me was that it was a no-brainer about buying the cathedral. Mm-hmm. It was a no-brainer. Financially, we had already started. The funds and plans had been allocated already for Christ Our Shepherd, I think it was, or in South County for the cathedral.
Christ Our Savior.
Christ Our Savior.
Yes.
And it was going to be, I think, more expensive than buying the cathedral.
Yes.
And the property, prime property and that. So from a practical standpoint, it was a no-brainer. There was a big conflict
exactly.
for me.
Yeah.
Being on the inside and having privy to all that information. But emotionally, as Alma mentioned, because we had been very, very active in all aspects. I was in a part of a pastoral council for many, many years with Father Twin. Got to see a lot of the changes that happened. And consequently, got bonded. We're a multicultural community. So being chairperson for the pastoral council, I got to know all the many other people from the Vietnamese community, Filipino, Spanish, English speaking. So it was, for us, it was one big family. And we got invited to many of the activities of all three communities. So it was difficult, but emotionally, it was hard. But from a practical standpoint, we knew it couldn't be turned down if we were got it.
Exactly. And I think the spirit of the parish of St. Callistus is one that was really necessary to make this transition what I would like to think is the success it has been, because the spirit of cooperation and trying to be together as one was already deeply embedded in the people, and also that spirit of service, of people coming forth, the numbers of volunteers and all the rest of it. This could never have happened if there wasn't already a solid foundation of that generous giving, again, the spirit of volunteering and all of the ministries that were going on. And as you say, you know, this took a long time to actually move, open the cathedral. But I like to think that those years extra, if you will, that it took, we needed. We needed those years.
Absolutely. I believe so. Mm-hmm. I believe
Absolutely.
So.
Because we needed time to kind of feel more at home here. Mm-hmm. We needed time to start experiencing our lives as a community in a new place, to the point where the place started to look familiar.
you could probably have one segment on all the nuances that happened for us to be granted the cathedral, because I remember being in a meeting, a bishop's council meeting, the night before the judge made the decision, and they were monitoring, or the board was monitoring what was going on. And Cheryl Giancomo, who was our chancellor at that time, said to us, well, we go to Plan B. The Chapman got awarded the contract.
Yes, yes.
And
he came home and I said, good.
Yeah, good.
No tears shed over that.
So about 6 in the morning, I don't know who called Father Twin, but he said, we got the cathedral. I said, well, what are you talking about at 10 o'clock last night? And he said, the judge... through
Dr. Schuller
said it should go back to the Mother Church. But there's a lot of things like that have happened that you can't deny that it was God's gift to us.
Yes, exactly. Well, I remember that along those lines. I was in Rome at the time during the days of the bankruptcy hearings.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my friend, Monsignor Mike Hare, mm-hmm. he texted me and... like, you got the phone call. His text just said, we didn't get the cathedral. Well, I was kind of relieved, too.
I'm sure you were.
Thank God for the bullet.
Exactly. Well, of course, at that time, I didn't know that the bishop was going to ask me this, but I did know that I was involved at St. Callistus. And anyway, it just sounded too hard. Well, I don't know. Was it 24 hours even?
No.
It didn't seem like that.
No.
But
he came home that night.
10, 11 o'clock at night when I got home.
Because it wasn't a few hours later we got the cathedral.
Yeah.
So it was just amazing.
He came home and said, we didn't get it. And, of course, we were relieved. And then early in the morning,
yes.
Father Twin called.
And Dr. Schuller and his wife did intercede for
us. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
that's exactly what we understand.
Mm-hmm.
And Father Al Baca, part of the miracles is that he had said 30 years prior or something like that Reverend Schuller had said, one day the cathedral has to go back to the Mother Church.
Yes, yes.
So,
well,
you know.
As they say, you just never know. You know, and God's full of surprises for all of us. And now we're here, and you've been involved all the way. You continued on the pastoral council as the president for a couple of years, and then we had a transitional council that kind of bridged the time from St. Callistus to Christ Cathedral. Mm-hmm. Then we started rotating membership and all the rest of it. And you've continued to be involved here and Alma as well. And then we opened the cathedral. And what was it like for you to go to the cathedral the first time and that whole experience?
Oh, my gosh. It was really awesome. And thanks to a special person, I got an invitation, and I was able to be there.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder who that might have been.
Because my husband had gotten the invitation.
I know.
And I said, okay, I'm a docent. I'll find my way in there somehow.
but say the whole story. I had said I won't go.
Oh, he had said he wouldn't go. I said, oh, no. I said, you have to go. You know, this is a once in a lifetime.
Now, he didn't say that to me.
No.
I didn't know that.
I said, this is a once in a lifetime. Uh-huh. You have to go. And he even said, well, you, I said, no, it's for you. You have to go. But anyway, it was very, very special being there. It was just. We'll never witness something like that again.
Yes.
Well, see, and as part of that, we knew so many people from St. Callistus that came over.
Yeah.
So even though it was a different milieu, a different environment, a lot of the people were the same.
Of course, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And so as far as bonding and getting to know them, other than the location, it was the atmosphere, the spirituality was there.
Yes.
And now, I think you mentioned how did the virus affect us now. That's one of the biggest things for me, and I think Elmo will echo that the people.
Yes.
And we're blessed that you all were able to set up to stream the Mass. So that's beautiful.
Yes.
And if I may, I want to put a plug in. I hope it's okay.
Well.
But we're asking... I'm not on pastoral council anymore, but I'm a member of the community.
Yes.
That I'd like everybody that's listening out there to listen that it's expensive to air the masses. And if you can kick in a little bit extra, you know.
Yes, I'll take a plug like that anytime. It's true, though.
Yeah,
really true.
Because it's really been a blessing for us, especially being 65 plus. The guidelines are that they've asked us, they're not telling us not to come, but that they'd like for us to honor that. So,
yes.
Biggest thing for me so far has been the people, not being able to be with the people.
Well, and this whole project is testimony to the truth we've always said about the church. It's not the buildings, it's the people. Mm-hmm. And so it's the people that actually make the community what it is. And we were open for 7 months, that's all, before we had to close. And just kind of really finding our way how to use the building and get the sound right and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And then the pandemic hit and all of the changes related to that. I'm glad you mentioned about the live stream because I'm happy to hear your firsthand experience of what that's like and that it has been
excellent.
An important thing for you.
It's excellent. It was challenging for us because we're not very good on these computer
technology.
Sure. So I had to have one of the parishioners who's a close friend and my son to help us set it up.
Okay.
Well. Because we wouldn't have been able to avail ourselves to that. But
yeah,
we're good at it.
There's
now.
a lot of folks in the later generations that I think have learned technology in a whole new way during all of this.
But on a positive note. Maybe
it's wonderful to have.
Maybe it's best because, our Hispanic community, our Vietnamese community, and English speaking, we're all huggers.
You got that one right.
And right now,
exactly.
They're telling us not to hug. And I don't know how that would have gone over if we would have been.
I know. And now they're telling us not to sing. So
and not to mingle after Mass.
I know. That's so hard.
That's
and
terrible.
And not to mingle.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break now, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about life during the pandemic, and also I want to ask Alma about a very special project that she's had going for many, many years, which I'm not going to tell you what it is until we come back. Also, remember that in the last segment of the show, there's a homily from Christ Cathedral and also some music, so please stay with us.
A message from Father Scott Borgman, Judicial Vicar of the Diocese of Orange.
What is God's will? What's He trying to say to the world through this pandemic of COVID-19? Better yet, what's He trying to say to you? My friend says that for the first time in history, God has got the attention of everyone, and God has a plan. People are more sober. There's a lot less sin in the world right now, and this is the time for us to turn back to God. If we turn our hearts back to God, we will understand what it means to be holy, to be with God, to make this time of COVID-19 a real school of love. Abandon the distractions which try to make your heart anxious. People are being forced to come together in their families. They're appreciating this much more in the midst of this pandemic. But we have to be sowers of peace and joy. Think twice before forwarding that social media post that is made out there to make people anxious. Go back to peace. Return to prayer. Turn your heart toward God. This is our opportunity to bring many souls to Christ. And we have to realize that God has a plan, and there's no better time than now to become saints. These are the times of saints.
For more, go to OCCatholic.com. That's OCCatholic.com. Or visit the Diocese of Orange Facebook page.
Welcome back to Cathedral Square. I'm your host, Father Christopher Smith, Rector of Christ Cathedral in the Diocese of Orange. And my special guests today are Dr. Steve Madrid and his wife, Alma. Again, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
We've been talking about the history of St. Callistus Parish moving to the Christ Cathedral campus, the transition and life during the pandemic, and how we're trying to continue to be a parish in the sense of connecting through the internet, since we can't gather in person a lot, but now we can. We've started our outdoor masses. We had our second weekend of that this week, and actually they were very beautiful. It turned out really well, and people are still good, being careful about coming and all the rest, but I've found people being very respectful in terms of the physical distancing and the wearing of masks and all that sort of thing. Before, we were not allowed to have group meetings. Steve and Alma were very involved in groups here at the parish. I know that Steve is a member of the Knights of Columbus, was a member of the Pastoral Council, and both of you participated in a ministry that we started since we came to the campus called JOY. And what does JOY stand for?
Just Older Youth.
I love that.
55
name.
Plus.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And Father Kwan was the one who oversaw that until he was transferred, and then Sister Kit Gray. And how was it for you to be in the JOY group?
Well, first of all, it was really great that Father Kwan was able to get it going, because they had attempted a seniors group a couple of times, and it hadn't worked out. So it was really great that he got it going, and people were enthused. And we would have a potluck before, always lots of good food. And it was a place for seniors that don't have a lot of people around them to get together. And they seemed to enjoy it. We wanted to move to get other activities going, but we didn't get around to getting that done. But we would have a Christmas party and exchange gifts and wear ugly sweaters and do all of that, wear little reindeer ears. But it really has been a very good group for our seniors. Really has.
It may not have taken hold because we initially called it the Keenagers, K-E-E-N-Agers.
Okay.
That's the 55-plus people, and maybe they didn't want to be called teenagers.
Yeah, I mean, who knows?
Who knows?
But we like JOY. So.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to when we can gather again in groups, going to certainly continue that.
I had already said to Steve, I'm going to be so disappointed if we don't have our Christmas party.
Yes. Well, maybe by then we'll be able to.
I hope so. Yes. I think that people look forward to things like that.
Yeah. So. Well, I promised our listeners that we would share something about a special project, I suppose that's the way to call it, that Alma has had going for a number of years, and that is?
I collect nativities. I have probably over 150. My husband had to have a special shed built so I could accommodate my nativities. And I just feel I've collected them from different places, different countries. But if I see one in the garage sale or in the thrift store or something, I feel like I need to rescue them. So I keep adding and adding to it. And a couple of years ago, I was picking up a couple of ladies from here to the cathedral. And Shepherd's Grove was having a garage sale. So I said to them, you guys want to stop at the garage sale that Shepherd's Grove is having? They said, yeah, let's go. So we walked in, and first thing I saw was a life-size nativity. And I said, oh, that's mine. So I asked how much they wanted for it, and they told me, and I said, oh, it's mine.
That's great.
So I bought it. I called my husband. I said, I need for you to come down and bring the van. And he said, well, what did you do? I
what
said,
have you done?
So he walked in and he just put his hands up to his face. He said, oh my God, what are you going to do with it? I said, I don't know. I don't know, but I want it. I want it. He said, well, it's not going to fit in the van. I said, don't worry. I already called our neighbor. He's bringing his truck. He's coming.
our neighbor has a trucking company.
Okay, okay.
So anyway, it's not in pristine condition, but I love it. I love it. It is beautiful. It's the one that Crystal Cathedral used outside.
Okay, yes.
So, and then I have an open house once a year, and we have a small house, so I invite a few people, you know, about between 6 and 10 we invite to come over and display my nativity. But it is a beautiful collection. And last year, the Register did an article
yes,
on it,
right.
And it came out on Christmas Day, so I was really pleased about that.
Yes.
And one of the people that came down from the Register said, well, my sister collects nativities. She lives back east somewhere. She's coming next year. Can I bring her down? I said, sure. I said, just give me a call, and she can come down.
Yeah.
So,
one of the special things about the collection is that people that have learned about her collecting over the years, when they traveled, they brought her some from different countries.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, Father Juan Navarro just
yes.
from brought you one from Peru, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
And the Gleasons from Alaska and things like that. So there's a story behind each one. So when we have people over that Alma gives a tour, that's all really special to have that background.
And they asked me which is my favorite. But when I'm putting them out, I say, oh, this is so pretty. Oh, I like this one.
Yeah, yeah.
So they all have a special place. And how I got started was I didn't have a nativity.
I was going to ask you how you got started.
Yes.
Yes.
That's how I got started. And I wanted one. But I didn't want a little one. I wanted something a little, you know, larger size.
Yes.
And they were expensive, so what I ended up doing, I went to, that's when people were painting the plaster figures and
oh, right.
stuff.
Uh-huh.
So there was one down the street. I went down there. I bought a set. I painted it. I was very proud of it. And after that, I would give them for gifts. And that's what I try to do now, too. If there's a wedding or
oh.
a baby
oh, okay.
or some kind of a baby
uh-huh.
shower, I like to give them at weddings. And for infants, they have the children nativities.
Uh-huh, yes.
So I try to buy that because
nice.
It's something that hopefully they'll keep.
Yes.
But my collection grew from there. I painted one for each of my children and then for some of the relatives' weddings. And
we just kept going?
Yes. Matter of fact, one of my nephews was over and his grandma was showing him the nativities and he's walking around and he says, babies, babies, baby Jesus, baby Jesus,
everywhere.
Baby Jesus everywhere.
I hope you have a couple of extra seconds, but can you tell the story of Sister John Ellen and Sister Sandra?
About?
With that ding-winging.
Oh, I bought a African couple at one of the thrift stores. They look very authentic,
uh-huh.
a man and a woman. And I thought, you know what? I can make a nativity out of this.
Oh.
But I need a black baby. So I could not find a black baby. But I had some black angels.
Okay.
So I de-winged the angel and wrapped him up in
burlap. Okay.
And Sister John Ellen said, oh, you de-winged the angel.
Oh, no. Now, I must admit, I have never heard a story about de-winging an angel. But it was for a good reason.
And Sister Sandra said,
I love
but
it.
Look, he got to be baby Jesus.
Beautiful.
Got
that's
elevated.
That's what I was thinking, exactly. Well, I was at one of your open houses.
Yes.
I couldn't believe it. It was just amazing. So beautiful, and the way you displayed them and all the rest of it. So I'm really happy to have had the opportunity for you to share with our listeners a little bit more about that. And as we continue our time here and think about the future, I'd just like to talk a little bit about the future in terms of the, you know, these are uncertain times. We don't know what we don't know when we're going to be able to gather again in groups. Thank the Lord we're able to gather for Mass outside. And in fact, right this very moment, there's a funeral going on mm-hmm. outside. And it's only been going on 2 weeks that we've been closed from the inside, but we've already had 2 weddings, 4 baptismal celebrations, 4 funerals, a full-scale set of Sunday Masses for the weekend, the weekday Masses. All of this has already happened out there on the, I call it our outdoor cathedral. Mm-hmm. And it, to me, we just need to keep doing whatever we can do to continue to share the Lord's love and to bond as a community in the best ways that we can. What keeps you going as Catholics these days and members of the parish when it's life is so very different than it was a few months ago?
Well, I keep blaming Sister Christopher, because when I was in elementary school, she said, if you don't follow Jesus, you'll go to hell.
There you go.
But it's the people, the body of Christ.
Yes.
You know, the love and the care. And I keep telling Alma, I'm from a large family. Alma is herself and her brother. But the people here is just family.
You know, and you still sense that.
Oh, absolutely.
The connection. It's really absolutely something to be said about a spiritual bond, isn't it?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, when we were coming here from the parking lot, two of the parishioners came over and hugged us.
Wonderful.
We've been praying for you. We were wondering how you were doing.
Great.
And that's just the atmosphere that is here.
We haven't seen you. Well, I guess the main thing is our faith. We've been invited to different communities.
Yes.
And we've gone, and I think they're very nice, but it's not us. It's not for us. You know, we respect it, whatever people want. But I think it's our faith. And then this is a very, very unique community. Mm-hmm. And it used to be almost all English speaking. But now you can even feel it in the Spanish community, in the Vietnamese community, the Filipino community, the Samoans. I mean, all of us do their part.
Yes.
And I think that's what it is. And even with the live streaming, I mean, I don't know if we're going to come back, Father. We get our cup of coffee and sit there.
I don't think we haven't worried about that.
I don't have to rush to get ready.
Exactly.
And we've thought of coming to the Mass because we've seen a few older people.
Yeah.
But
teenagers.
But we want to be respectful
of course, and
go by the guidelines. But I think mainly it's our faith.
Yes.
That will keep us here.
And one of the things we've added since you came over was the Samoan Mass.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's
really... It is something else. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
We were in Hawaii a few years back, and when you go to Mass, they...
Oh, yes, they put on the lay.
But nothing compared to when we have it. And we don't have it often enough.
Yes, yeah. Well, when we open up, we'll have it a little bit more
of those Samoan customs. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, we're coming to the end of this segment, and Dr. Stephen Alma, thank you so much for being here today. You have been an inspiration to me, and I've just cherished your love and support over these years, which have been sometimes difficult and challenging and mostly wonderful and joyful and hope-filled. So thank you very much for being with us today.
Well, we love you a lot, and thank you for sharing your biological family with us.
Oh, yes.
Because we've gotten to know most of them.
Exactly.
Through some positive, happy experiences and some...
Yeah, exactly.
Bad ones.
You know.
But,
well, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I thank our listeners today. You've been listening to Cathedral Square. When we come back, there'll be a homily from Christ Cathedral and some music. And remember, we can be heard every Saturday on AM 1000 between 11 in the morning and 12 noon.
I'm your host, Father Christopher Smith. Thank you so much for joining us today, and may the Lord's grace continue to be with us.
Amen.
Days of Praise, a daily guide toward transformation through praise, by Deacon Steve Greco. August 8th, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. Avoid profane, idle talk, for such people will become more and more godless. An occasional profane word, gossip, crude humor, no harm, right? Unfortunately, that is exactly what Satan wants you to think. Everybody does it. God's ways are very specific. We are to use our words for praise and worship and for building up His people. As we strive for holiness, we must realize that it is the little things that make a big difference. If we fail in our speech, we let the enemy into our lives. Let's reflect back a few weeks or months and see how many times we've fallen. Lord, may I take seriously every word out of my mouth. May they be as sweet as incense unto you. I praise you for taking over my speech and my life. Do you take the Lord's commandments lightly? Do you stand firm in your faith and honor the Lord with only words that build up His body of Christ? You're listening to Cathedral Square. Thanks for tuning in today. Next, we'll hear from Father Christopher in a powerful homily that he delivered recently from our outdoor cathedral. He'll be speaking about how not enough can really become more than enough. We'll also enjoy just a small sample of some of the glorious music we heard that morning, featuring the talents of cantor Lauren McCall and organist David Ball.
Welcome to all who are here with us, wherever you may be on our beautiful cathedral plaza. I kind of feel like Jesus on the hillside with the people scattered all around, which we'll hear about later on today. And also a very special welcome to those of you who are joining us by live stream, praying with us, those in your houses, those who may be in the hospital, in care centers, maybe even work. We're so grateful that you are praying with us today. In these days of the pandemic, there are, as you well know, reports of many shortages. In some areas, shortages of medical personnel and other areas, shortages of hospital beds. In other areas, shortages of sufficient medical equipment. We know very well in these times that for many people, families and individuals, there is a shortage of money because people have lost their jobs or businesses have been closed. The lists of shortages these days, the lists of what is not enough, are many and they are big. Today we hear in the gospel a story of not enough. Jesus is on the hillside with thousands and thousands of people. It's getting dark. They're very far from the nearest town and they don't have anything to eat. There's not enough food. And not only that, there's not enough money to buy food to feed all those people. So the disciples want to send the people off into the darkness, but Jesus wouldn't have it. He says, well, what do we have? And so he has brought two little fish and five little loaves of bread. And Jesus looks at those little fish and those small loaves of bread. And in that, he sees a huge banquet. And so what does he do? He says, thank you to his Father for those little fish and those little loaves of bread. And the thank you of Jesus to his Father for what he did have turned into a great feast. On that day on the hillside, not enough turned into more than enough. In fact, we hear the story. There's 12 wicker baskets full of leftovers. I don't know if you have ever noticed it before, but the statue over here on the plaza, it's called the Smiling Jesus. And really what that is a scene of, it is a scene of the multiplication of the loaves and fishes. So to help us today, remember that sometimes not enough turns into more than enough with Jesus. We have placed 12 baskets around that beautiful image. Yes, in our world today, there are plenty of things that are not enough. And we need to remember today that what we don't have is not the whole story. What we do have, just like those people did on that day when Jesus was curing illnesses and helping people, and when he fed them all, we too, right here on Christ Cathedral Plaza and wherever we are, always have the care of Jesus with us. And the care of Jesus does not mean that we will never suffer pain. It doesn't mean that we will never suffer hardship. And what it does mean is that if we open our hearts and our minds and our souls to the strength and the guidance of Jesus, we will find meaning through the hardships of our lives. For example, I've heard so many people these days say, and I've said it before, you know what? These are very tough times that we are living in. And in the middle of these hard times, I have come to a new appreciation for what I do have, when so much of what I used to take for granted is not available to me at the moment. Today, we need to remember, yes, we have to do something about shortages that are causing harm and difficulty that maybe result in death. We have to do something about the shortages of food and all of those things in the world. And at the same time, the story of not enough becoming more than enough invites us to say thank you for what we do have. Remember, when Jesus said thank you to his Father for what he did have, that turned into more than enough. The fact is, none of us has everything. None of us has the same amount of anything. We don't have the same amount of money or the same quality of health or the same kinds of jobs or any of that. And the fact also is that we all have something. So the story of the loaves and the fishes invites us not to live out of the scarcity of what we don't have, but rather to live out of the abundance of what we do have. Whatever that abundance may be for you and for me today, whether that abundance be faith, family, friends, clothes, a place to sleep tonight, whether that abundance be a reservoir of hope or the accompaniment of people in our lives who are with us in the times that are tough, maybe the abundance for us right this very moment is simply the capacity to be here at this liturgy, or the abundance of being able to pray together from far away because of modern technology. We all have some kind of abundance. When we look at the shortages of the world today, it can really feel like trying to feed thousands and thousands of people with two scrawny fish and five little loaves of bread. Today, remember when not enough became more than enough. Remember that hillside long, long ago when Jesus said thank you to his Father for what he did have and when it became more than enough. My brothers and sisters, our thank yous today could do just the same.
Been listening to the Cathedral Square Radio Show with Father Christopher Smith. To hear this program again or to download the podcast, go to OCCatholic.com and click radio. Be sure to share and tell a friend as well. Have a blessed day.